on day two. Day two, those two verses. Let's read together. Acts 9:20 and 22. Let's read together. And immediately he saw, proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, that this one is the Son of God. And he saw, confounded, the Jews dwelling in Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. John 20:31. Let's read together. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in Him. These three verses that let's two by two and pray read two by two. Amen. Amen. And immediately he saw, proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue.
Amen.
Amen. That this one is the Son of God. And he saw, confounded the Jews dwelling in Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. Amen. But this have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Amen. That believing that you may have life in His name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, the message six. Let's read the title. God's Central Testimony. The Incarnated, Crucified, Resurrected, and Ascended Christ as the All-Inclusive One. This message, it's not that easy to understand even this title. It's not that easy to understand, even though the subject is God's central testimony. God's testimony. What is the testimony? The testimony is the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ. The central testimony is Christ as the all-inclusive one. As. In English, it's as, the all-inclusive one. This central testimony is this Christ, which is the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ as the all-inclusive one. Why do we need to study this title? When we get into the Roman numerals, then we will understand how they come up with the outline. Let's read all the Roman numerals. Let's Roman 1. Let's read together. As we study the book of Acts, we need to have the view of the Lord Jesus as the one who is on the throne economically and within us essentially. This is the revelation that precedes the book of God. This point gives us a realization that the Lord Jesus has the economical aspect, which is on the throne, an essential aspect, which is within us. We need to realize and know this. There is an economical aspect and it is an essential aspect. The point 2 to 5 is continue on this point. Point 2, God's central testimony is the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ. Romans 2 talk about the central testimony is this Christ. This is a Christ which is incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ. Romans 3, let's read together. We all need the full enjoyment of Christ as the feast of harvest. This full enjoyment of Christ is actually the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit as the consummation of the process triune God reaching us. Point 2 and point 3, we don't know how to connect them. Point 2, talk about God's central testimony. Point 3 is the last portion of the title, the all-inclusive one. Later, we'll come back to this and talk about the economical aspect and the essential aspect. There's the objective side. There's also the subjective side. Point 2 and 3 are explaining this title. Point 4. All the apostles carry out the same ministry to bear the testimony of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all, announcing Christ in his person and work. Point 4 is corresponding to 2.2. Talk about the central testimony of God. Talk about the testimony. All the apostles bear the same testimony, proclaiming, announcing Christ in his person and work. Point 2 and point 4 are corresponding to one another. Point 5, the apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, was all-inclusive. As depicted in the book of Acts, they preached and ministered the all-inclusive Christ. Point 5 is corresponding to point 3. So point 3 and 5 are corresponding to one another. This is very pretty deep. This last weekend in Houston, before the meeting, Brother Benjamin mentioned that the messages are profound. This message here in the winter training and the Chinese speaking conference in Taiwan is all deep and profound. The structure of this message, we'll go back. Before we get into the structure, we can talk about, let's review all the messages in this training. From message 1 to 5, it talks about the crystallization of the Book of Acts. Message 1 talk about the intrinsic significance. And the first crystal is the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's one testimony. The second message talk about one accord. This is the second crystal. It's always one. It's one accord, one testimony. Message 3 talk about Holy Spirit has the two aspects, the economical aspects and essential aspect, but also one Spirit have two aspects. Message 4 talk about the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. It's a unique teaching and the only fellowship. And message 5 talk about the heavenly vision, which is the central vision. There's only one vision. The first five messages give us the crystals of the book of Acts. There's one witness. There's one accord. There's one spirit. There's two aspects of this one spirit. Only one teaching and one fellowship. And the only one central vision. And then message 6 talk about central testimony, which can be also stated as the unique testimony. In message 7 is the divine Trinity. Divine Trinity. And the message 8 talk about the enjoyment and propagation of the resurrected Christ as the Jubilee. Message 9 talk about the work, one flow, one of one work. And then message talk about the gospel, the salvation, and also the continuation in message 12. Message 12, this corporate continuation of Christ is the sixth crystal. This message tells us what the central testimony of God is. This Christ is the one that went through all the process. The purpose is to bring in the kingdom of God so that we can enjoy such a one, and we can participate in this work, which is one work, one flow. And we can also preach the gospel, preach the full salvation, God's salvation, and also the need for a dispensational transfer. So then we can become the continuation of the book of Acts. Message 6 is a little different. It's talk about a lot of revelation. This revelation can also be experienced. Message 6, before we get into this, we need to have realized where is the book of Acts position in the Bible. In the life study message number 1 of this book, Brother Lee says, this is like a landmark. It's a landmark of the book New Testament. Before the book of Acts and after the book of Acts is different. Just like your backbone. If your backbone is weak, you can't stand up. If you realize this landmark, then you can see the turning, you can see the dividing lines. Before this, there's Jesus. Then he become Christ. After this, he's Christ. The verses we prayed earlier, they talk about Jesus and then become Christ. From individual, become corporate. The position of this book is a dividing line. It's like a landmark dividing line, even for the entire Bible. There are 5 major points here. We read through these points earlier. We need to see here is some turning points. Before we get into the book of Acts, we need to realize the Lord Jesus has 2 aspects. From an economical aspect, he's sitting on a throne. He's in the heavens. But from essentially, he's in us. Hebrew 12:2, it says, looking away unto Jesus, and he's set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Revelation 5:6, I saw in the midst of the throne, and there's creatures, and there are standing, the Lamb standing as the 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord be with your spirit. The Spirit is in us. The Lord be in with us. He's also in us. This is essential aspect. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The Spirit is in us. Here, the point, if we only remember he's Jesus, he's only incarnated human living, but if you don't see that he has two aspects, then it's difficult for us to understand. Romans 2 talk about this central testimony. God's central testimony is this Christ. This Christ is the one who went through the process. Incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended. The three verses we prayed earlier, it's all testify. These three verses we read in day one, the Acts 2:36, the apostles preached this Christ is this Jesus is Christ. God has made him both Lord and Christ. In day two, we talk about 20 and 22. This Saul said, proclaim Jesus. Amen. Is the Son of God. He confounded the Jews by proving that this one is the Christ. Peter preached that Jesus is the Christ. Paul also preached this is Christ. And he proved this one is the Christ. In John 20:31, John also said, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ. We preach so many things. You may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Why do we need to believe? We need to believe. Then we can receive life in his name. John 20:31. That believing you may have life in his name. This coming Lord's Day, if you can connect these three verses, then this is a great prophecy. This Jesus is now the Lord and Christ. When we believe this Christ, then we can have life in his name. This is Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 2. I'm sorry, this is Roman numeral 2. This Christ has been made both Lord and Christ. 1:3, to whom he present himself alive after his suffering. This one is Jesus. He has been resurrected. Acts 1:9 through 11. Verse 9 says, when he said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up, and the cloud took him away from their sight. Verse 11, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heavens. It says Jesus. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven. Acts 2:22. Jesus the Nazarene. Verse 23. Through the hand of lawless men, nailed to a cross and killed. Verse 24. God has raised him up, has loosed the pain of death. And then verse 32 to 36. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses. He has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received the promise of the Holy Spirit, And then we saw the verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. You know Jesus before, the main Jesus. But this man Jesus is now become, has made him both Lord and Christ. In Luke, this also recorded, the angel announced that today in the city of David, there is a Savior has been born. This one is Lord Christ. It didn't say Lord Christ, Jesus. It says Lord Christ. We need to know this Jesus is Christ because the Jews, the Judaism, they don't believe Jesus is Christ. They cannot be saved because they don't believe Jesus is Christ. Today, you want to be saved, you have to believe this Jesus is Christ. Peter preached this way. Paul also preached this way. John also preached this way. We also need to preach this way. When we preach the gospel, we need to tell people that this Jesus is the Christ. Romans 2 talk about God's central testimony is the Christ. This Jesus has been made Christ. We also have talk about incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended. This Jesus has gone through the process, is now been made Christ. This is Lord God's central testimony. God's testimony is testified Christ. This Christ is God, has gone through the process. Incarnated, crucified, resurrected, ascended. He's now the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the commission. He's been sent one to accomplish God's commission. Romans 3. About the all-inclusive one. It's explained the all-inclusive one. We need to the full enjoyment of Christ as the feast of harvest. The full enjoyment of Christ is actually the all-inclusive life-giving spirit as the consummation of the process triune God, reaching us. This is a quote from a footnote 1. We can read part of this footnote. Maybe we can still read from the beginning. This footnote 2:1. We can read together. Pentecost, meaning 50th. It was the 50th day from the Lord's resurrection. There being 7 weeks in between, counting from the second day, the first day of the week. After the Passover on which the Lord was crucified, it was the fulfillment of the Feast of Weeks, which was also called the Feast of Harvest, and was accounted from the day of the offering of a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the day after the seventh Sabbath. The sheaf of the first fruit offered before God was a type of resurrected Christ, offered to God on the day of his resurrection, which was the day after the Sabbath. From that day to the day of Pentecost, there were exactly 50 days. The Feast of the Harvest typifies the enjoyment of the rich produce brought in by resurrected Christ. This rich produce is the all-inclusive spirit of the process triune God, given by Him to His chosen people as the blessing of the gospel, that they may enjoy the all-inclusive Christ, the very embodiment of the triune God, as their good land. This signifies that the believers, by receiving the bountiful spirit on the day of Pentecost, not only have entered into the good land, but also have participated in the bountiful riches of all-inclusive Christ in his resurrection and ascension as the God's full allotment of his New Testament economy. We talk about the Feast of Harvest. The all-inclusive one is the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. He's the life-giving spirit. This is the typified in the Old Testament as the Feast of Harvest. In the Israelites have seven feasts. This seven feasts typify our entire life. The Passover, he's the lamb of the Passover. The second is the unleavened day, harvest. The third feast is the feast of first fruit. He became the sheaf of the first fruit offered before God. Then after 50 days, after his resurrection, he became the Pentecost, which is the feast of harvest, or the feast of weeks. All this mean the same thing. Feast of weeks, feast of harvest, and the Pentecost. Typify the enjoyment of the rich produce brought in by the resurrected Christ. Rich produce is the all-inclusive Christ. The rich produce, as the all-inclusive one, is the rich produce brought in by the resurrected Christ. So we can understand, better understanding. Romans 3 told us we need to enjoy such a resurrected Christ. He is the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. We enjoy him as the feast of harvest, that we enjoy him as the rich produce brought in by this resurrected Christ. This is very subjective. Point two tells us we need to know this Christ objectively. This Christ is the Christ. He has gone through the process. But Romans 3 told us that not only we need to know this one, but this one is subjective one. This Christ is now the feast of the harvest. All the rich produce brought in by him will be for our enjoyment, so we can enjoy him. Point two, so that we know he gone through the process. But point three tells us we need to enjoy this rich produce of the Feast of Harvest. I don't know if you understand this. It's not easy to understand. Point two and point three are the expounding on the title of this message. And then point four, all the apostles carry out the same ministry. I didn't finish the seven feast. I think the Feast of Trumpet. The fifth feast is Feast of Trumpet. All the children of Israel will be gathered after the sounding of the trumpet. The Feast of Propitiation. Not only they've been gathered, but also they turn back to God. The seventh, which is the Feast of Tabernacle. The first four feasts are in the first half of the year. The last three are second half of the year has not been fulfilled. This will be fulfilled when the Lord's return in his second coming. After his resurrected, ascended, and in this Feast of Harvest, he will give us the all-inclusive life-giving spirit for us to enjoy. Okay, now we'll come back to four. All the apostles carry out the same ministry. What is the ministry? Ministry is to bear the testimony. Bear the testimony of this one is the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Jesus Christ. So all the apostles bear the same testimony. And this testimony is the his person and his work. Who is the Lord of all, announcing Christ in his person and work. In a song, in hymn, even though we have many tongues, but there's only one hymn, one song. All the apostles carry out the same ministry. They all are doing this one, same one thing, is to bear the testimony of this Christ. This Christ is incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended. And this Christ is the Lord of all. Okay, we'll get into point A. With Christ, there are two main aspects. The aspect of his person and the aspect of his work. The Son of God denotes his person, and the Christ denotes his work. The brothers, point one. For the Lord Jesus to be the Son of God means that he is God, the one with a unique divine source. Sisters, two. For the Lord Jesus to be the Christ means that he is the God anointed and God appointed one to carry out whatever God intends. Point A. This is Paul saying. Paul proclaimed Christ, there are two main aspects. Paul announced there are two main aspects, the aspect of his person and the aspect of his work. His person is the Son of God. His work pertains to the Christ. In Acts 9:20, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue that this one is the Son of God. Verse 22, Saul was all more empowered, and he confounded the Jews dwelling in Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. This Jesus is the Son of God. This Jesus is the Christ. And Son of God is God. He is the unique source. He's talking about he is the divine source. Point two, talk about his work. For the Lord Jesus to be Christ means that he is God anointed, God appointed one. Christ in Hebrew means Messiah. He is the sent one. From economical speaking, from the work aspect, he is accomplishing God's work. Paul's ministry is to proclaim that this Jesus is the Son of God. He's also the Christ. Point B, this is Peter's talking. Peter witnessed concerning the man Jesus in his work, death, resurrection, and ascension. There are 4 points. Brothers, point one. While Christ was living and ministering, whatever he did was an exhibition that his work was done by God and was fully tested, proved, and approved by God. Sisters, two. The Lord's crucifixion was not an accident in human history, but a purposeful fulfillment of divine counsel determined by God, taking place according to the eternal predestination of the triune God. Point three, brothers, Christ's resurrection was God's approval and declaration of him as the real Messiah, the one anointed and appointed by God to carry out his eternal commission. Sisters, four, Christ's ascension was God's exaltation of him. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit was a proof that God has exalted the Lord Jesus and made him both Lord and Christ. Peter witnessed concerning the man Jesus, his work, death, resurrection, and ascension. Acts 2:22, man of Israel, hear this word. Jesus the Nazarene, a man shown by God to you to be approved by works of power and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst. God has shown this person, has exhibited this person, display this person. God has displayed all the work. This work has been approved by God. This approval. In this 4 points, first point, talk about his living. His living is through him. God has done something. And his work has been done, has been proved, tested, and approved by God. His work was proven and approved by God. Point two, the resurrection, the crucifixion. This is not an accident. But a purposeful fulfillment of the divine counsel determined by God. Verse 23 says, this man was determined, delivered up by the determined counsel of the foreknowledge of God. It was planned. It's not an accident. Point three, talk about the resurrection. The resurrection was that he was approval and decoration of him as the real Messiah. In verse 24, talk about his resurrection, his raising up. He's been declared that he's a real Messiah. He declared that. Point four, talk about his ascension. His ascension is an exaltation, God's exaltation of him. That Jesus has made him both Lord and Christ. So we talk about his living, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And this is the Jesus the Nazarene. Let's read point C together. Jesus' incarnation made him a man. His human living on earth qualified him to be man's savior. His crucifixion accomplished full redemption for man. His resurrection vindicated his redemptive work, and his exaltation inaugurated him to be the ruling leader that he might be the savior. This exalting of him was the ultimate step in his being perfected to be the savior of man. This point is very good. This process, every process, every steps, maybe we should pre-read this so we can be more deeply impressed with this portion. So let's pre-read point C. Jesus incarnation made him a man. His human living on earth qualified him to be the main savior. His crucifixion accomplished full redemption for man. His resurrection vindicated his redemptive work, and his exaltation inaugurated him to be the ruling leader that he might be the savior. This exalting of him was the ultimate step in his being perfected to be the savior of man.
来看这个第三个终点，接下面的这些经节。
Let's look at these verses first. Acts 5:30, the God of our Father has raised Jesus, who you slew by hanging him on the tree. 31, this one God has exalted to his right hand as leader and savior. So he had went through the process and accomplished this. Hebrews 2:10, in the middle portion, he to make the author of his salvation perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 5:9. He is the source of eternal salvation. He went through the process. He can become the source of eternal salvation. When this central testimony has been declared, he went through the process step by step. Incarnated, became a man. He can die for us. He is human living, so he can be the savior for man. If he never lived on earth, he never been tested like a man, then he cannot be our savior. His crucifixion accomplished his redemption, and then his resurrection vindicate his redemptive work because he's resurrected. Then his exaltation inaugurated him to be the ruling leaders. Now he might be the Savior. We need to declare this. This is a central testimony. Point 5 is correspond to point 3. Regarding the all-inclusive one. The apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, was all-inclusive. As depicted in the book of Acts, they preached and ministered the all-inclusive Christ. Point 4 and 5 are written in a different way. Point 4 talk about to proclaim, to announcing Christ in his person and work, like reporting, declaring. But in point 5 is preached and ministered. Preach is preaching the gospel. You preach, preaching out. Minister is to support, supply. And this is more subjective. Announcing, reporting, is a objective fact. But this all-inclusive Christ, all-inclusive Spirit, need to be preached, need to be ministered. This is subjective. The apostles' testimony, the content of the testimony is this all-inclusive one. Who he is and what he has done, we need to preach and minister. So we need to, so point 4 talk about knowledge and realization. Point 5 is for us to minister the others. And then we need to subjectively enjoy him first before we can minister Christ to the others. Let's read point 8. In his ministry, Peter announced the all-inclusive Christ. Peter, in Acts 3:13 to 16, he announced the all-inclusive Christ. Point 1, brothers, the Lord Jesus, the servant of God, the healer, is the holy and religious one and righteous one. Second, sisters too. Christ is the author of life, the origin of the originator of life, the chief leader in life. Brothers three. The Lord Jesus is the prophet who speaks for God and speaks forth God. Sisters four. Christ is the seasons of refreshing. To have Christ is to have time of refreshing. Brothers 5, Christ is a seed in whom we receive God's blessing. Amen. Sisters 6, God's way of sending the ascended Christ was by pouring out the Spirit. When the outpoured Spirit came to the people, that was Christ, the ascended one, sent by God to them. altogether seven. As the stone savior, Christ is the material for God's building. In resurrection, God made him the cornerstone, the prominent stone, and joined the walls of a building. Peter announced, preach and minister the all-inclusive Christ in this seven different aspects in chapter 3 of Acts. First, talk about he's the servant of God, he's the healer. Verse 13, talk about God has glorified his servant Jesus. Jesus is his servant. Verse 14, you deny the holy and righteous one. You deny this holy and righteous one is Jesus. And the murderer was granted to you. So the holy and righteous one is sinless, but the murderer is sin. And he's also a healer in verse 16. His name, upon his name, this man is sitting outside of the temple. He's a cripple. And the faith which is through him has given him the wholeness of health before you all. So, it's the wholeness of the health, which is he's a healer. Point A, as the Holy One, he's absolutely for God, unto God, and one with God. Point two, Christ is the author of life, the originator of life, and chief leader in life. And then point three, in verse 22 says, Moses said, a prophet will the Lord your God. And then number four, talk about the season of refreshing. So the season of refreshing. Peter has went through a lot of time, skipped over a lot of time. He went to the millennium and being the refreshing time. Point five, and Christ is a seed in whom we receive God's blessing. Just like Abraham, saying to Abraham, and your seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. In verse 26, if you can read the footnote number one, you will know God's way of sending this ascended Christ was by pouring out the Spirit. So to you first, God has raised up his servant, has sent him to bless you in turning each of you away from your wicked deeds. By pouring out the Spirit, when the outpour Spirit came to the people, that was Christ, the ascended one, sent by God. Point seven, talk about stone savior. Acts 4:10-12, this portion talk about this man stands before you in good health. Talk about this lame person. He is the savior. And verse 11, talk about the stone. It's a stone which was considered as nothing by you, the builder, which become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together. And there is salvation in no other, for neither is there another name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved. Amen. He's our Savior. This is what Peter preached. Point B is Paul's preach. In his ministry, Paul announced the all-inclusive Christ. He carried out a work of presenting, conveying, and ministering the all-inclusive Christ realized as the life-giving spirit. This is a long point. Paul, in his ministry, he announced the all-inclusive Christ. How does he preach? He carried out the work of presenting, conveying and ministering the all-inclusive Christ, realized as a life-giving spirit. The all-inclusive Christ is the life-giving spirit. He presenting, conveying, ministering. You need to know, you need to realize, you need to have experience so that you can minister to others. There are two small points. This is one of the important points. This point is important. Point one. Through resurrection, Christ became the firstborn Son of God. God's raising up Jesus from the dead was His begetting of Him to be His firstborn Son. This, Paul, in his ministry, mentioned this Christ is the firstborn Son. Acts 13:33. He fulfilled the promise of their children in raising up Jesus, as it is written in 2nd Psalm, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you." Jesus raises up and is equal to God has begotten the Son. His resurrection became and begotten as the Son of God. A firstborn son. He's the only son is from eternity to eternity. But to be gotten as the firstborn son is in his resurrection. Romans 8:29 clearly stated, because those whom he foreknew he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Point A. Let's brothers read. As the only begotten Son, the Lord is the embodiment of the divine life. Point B, sisters. As the firstborn Son, Christ is the life dispenser for the propagation of life. Point C, together. In Acts 13, Paul was preaching Christ as the firstborn Son for propagation. For this reason, he preached the resurrection of Lord Jesus as his birth in his humanity to be God's firstborn son. Point A. He's the only begotten son. He's the embodiment of the divine life. John 1:4. In him, for in him was life. He is life. This only begotten Son is life. 1 John 5:11. As this testimony, He gave us the eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12 says, he does not have the Son, does not have the life. He who has the Son has life. As the firstborn son, Christ is a life dispenser. This is very important. Life dispenser. If he's always the only begotten son, we have no hope. But he is the firstborn son. Now he is the life dispenser for the propagation of life. Romans 1:3-4. Three talk about concerning son who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh. Who was, according to the flesh, is his humanity. Verse 4, he was designated a son of God according to the Spirit. Romans 8 portion here. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. He's not only Spirit, but he's the law, life Spirit. He's the law of life, spirit of life. Verse 6, 10 and 11, all these verses talk about He will give us life. He will. Verse 6 talk about our mind set on the spirit is life. It's not saying you will have life, but if you set your mind on the spirit, is life. It's not saying you have life, but is life. Verse 10, you talk about the spirit. The spirit is life because of righteousness. It's not saying spirit has life, but his spirit is life. Verse 11, last portion. Give life to your mortal body through his spirit. He's the life dispenser. He's dispensing to our spirit, soul and body. 8:29. He foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Many brothers. There's only one. Originally only one. But now there's a propagation. There are many brothers. Through resurrection, he became the life dispenser. Point two, the resurrected Christ is the great gift given by God to us. And this gift is entitled The Holy Things of David, the Faithful Thing. This verse, we may not be that familiar. This is in English. He's the holy things. The holy things of David. The faithful things. Is also plural. Things. Holy things. And faithful things. This resurrected Christ is the gift. Is the gift. Expounded the verse 34. This David, point A, this Holy One is Christ, the Son of David, in whom God's mercies are centered and conveyed. Hence, the holy things of David, the faithful things, refers to the resurrected Christ. Sisters B, the holy and faithful things are all at the aspect of what Christ is. Christ himself has mercies to us, an all-inclusive gift given by God to us for our experience and enjoyment.
Amen.
The holy one, holy things, and faithful things. This is all-inclusive gift. There's a term, all-inclusive gift. This first, the Roman point B talk about, point one talk about this resurrected Christ became for propagation. First point talk about Christ's life for our living, for our growth. The point two, talk about He is the gift. What's the gift? Gift is for building. The message may not say this, but when you read 1 Corinthians 12, talk about 12:7. This is the manifestation giving to each one. If you read the footnotes 1 and 2 of this verse 7 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, you see many different gifts given to us so that we can be benefited. We can have benefit so that all the members of the body can grow, so the body can be built up. So Paul preached the all-inclusive one, tells that Christ is life for our life to live and to propagate. He also tells that this resurrected Christ is the gift. This gift has given to us is for the building, for the economical aspect. So this message, let's kind of have a little review, this whole message, to see the thought. This message is not that easy. The central testimony of God is this all-inclusive Christ become the all-inclusive one. We need to know this Christ, this Jesus has two aspects. He's sitting on the throne economically. He's within us essentially. From the economically speaking, he is the processed God become Christ. We also need to know. In point three, not only we know such a Christ, but we also have the full enjoyment of this Christ. And then he will become the feast of harvest. We can enjoy the rich produce. And this rich produce is the all-inclusive spirit. This spirit lives in us for our enjoyment. Then point four, talk about all the apostles carry out the same ministry, to bear the same testimony, to preach this processed Christ and become the central testimony, to preach announcing Christ, his person and work. And he is the Son of God, but he is Christ. And he went through the process through their preaching. He incarnated, become a man, so that he have a human living, so he can be a savior for us. And he crucified and resurrected. And he can accomplish his salvation. We need to have such a realization. We need to preach just like Peter, just like Paul, so that people would know this Christ, Jesus is the Christ. And in point five, not only we need to preach, but we need to preach, not only we need to announce, but we need to preach and minister the all-inclusive one. We need to preach and minister the all-inclusive one. Peter announced, preached that he is the servant of God, he's the author of life, he's the prophet, he's the refreshing, seasons of refreshing, he's the seed, he's the seeding, he's the pouring out of the Spirit, he's the stone savior, he's the cornerstone for the building. And Paul, in his ministry, he's also carry out even more deeper from another aspect. He's the firstborn son. He's the life dispenser for the propagation of life. He's also, this resurrected Christ is the great gift, is the holy things of David and the faithful things. And this is the gift. This gift is for the building up of the body. Once we have such a realization and knowledge, we can enjoy this all-inclusive one. I feel there's a hymn. I don't know if you bring the hymn. Yeah. We sing this often in the table meeting. Chinese 110. This is written by Darby. 127. Hark in thousand voice crying. Thousand saints replying. Wake at once the echoing chord. Praise the Lamb. The chorus waking. All in heaven together throng. Loud and far each tongue partaking. Rose around the endless song. Grateful incense, this ascending, ever to the Father's throne. Ever knee to Jesus bending, all the mind in heavens is one. All the Father's counsels claiming, equal honors to the Son. All the Son's effulgence beaming makes the Father's glory known. By the Spirit all-pervading, host unnumbered round the Lamb, crowned with light and joy unfading, hailed Him as the Great I Am. Joyful now the new creation, rest in undisturbed repose, blessed in Jesus' full salvation, sorrow now nor thraldom knows. Hark the heavenly notes again, loudly swells the psalm of praise. Through creation's vault, amen. Amen, responsive, joy does raise. This hymn, very good and high. This one is a no ending. This was written by Darby in 1835. Brother Lee praised this song to be an ascending song. Hymn 132. It's the same. Brother Lee wrote this 132 in 1960. There's 120, 30 years apart. After 120 or 30 years, there is such an uplifting of the revelation of God's economy. I would like to compare these two verses, this hymn. The central testimony of God is this process Christ become the all-inclusive one. What's the purpose? The hymn we sung earlier is very high, very uplifted. In this hymn 132, when Brother Lee wrote this, is to strengthen the other hymn. So give us a complete revelation of the truth. Brothers, we one. Lo, in heaven Jesus sitting, Christ the Lord is there enthroned. As the man by God exalted, with God's glory he is crowned. And here you see Jesus sitting in the heaven. Sisters, two, he has put on human nature, died according to God's plan, resurrected with a body, and ascended as a man. Brothers, three, God in him on earth was humble. God with man was domiciled. Men in him in heaven exalted. Men with God is reconciled. Sisters 4. He as God with man is mingled. God in man is testified. He as man with God is blended. Man in God is glorified. From the glorified in heaven, the all-inclusive Spirit came. All of Jesus' work and person does the Spirit here proclaim. With the glorified in heaven is the church identified. By the Spirit of this Jesus are his members edified. Lo, a man is now in heaven as the Lord of all enthroned. This is Jesus Christ our Savior, with God's glory ever crowned. Amen. If you compare this to him, this to both him, we need a hymn, we need a sing. They're this 132 has given complement the other hymn. 127 emphasized economical. But in 132, this glorified Christ, this ascended Christ, is now the all-inclusive one. In this 132, he entered into us, he says, the church. He won again the church.
Amen.
This 132 has talked about his essential aspect, subjective and experiential side, and organic aspect has complemented and supplemented here. Not only he went to the throne, but he went to the throne, but he became the all-inclusive one, so that we can enjoy him, to enjoy, experience him. We can have his life. We can have his gift for the building up of the body to accomplish his economy. So after this kind of realization, when we sing this hymn in the table meeting, in the table meeting, we probably shouldn't sing this hymn at the beginning because this is very high. But once we enter into a high point, we can sing a hymn like this, 127, 132. This two-verse hymn should constitute in us. So this is the central testimony of God. He is the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, ascended Christ, become the Christ, as the all-inclusive one. Maybe we can have some sharing. Maybe we can have some sharing. Lord Jesus. In this Lord's Day, coming Lord's Day, maybe we should use this Acts 2:36. And then 9:22. And then also John 20:31. These three verses, well, we probably should get into it and compose a prophecy based on these three verses. We may also, day 4, Acts 3, 14 and 15, 14 to 15. This is good. He is the author of life. Amen. And verse on day 6, 13, 33, 34. If we have time, we can read those verses. He's 33, talk about he's the firstborn son. 34, talk about he's the holy things of David, faithful things. He's the life dispenser. He's a gift giver. He's the life dispenser and he's the gift giver. They are more on Revelation, on the truth side. This week, brothers, sisters should touch the burden of this week. There is a transfer. There's a dispensational transfer. There's a economical and essential aspects. He went through the process. Every step, every process is significant and being approved by God. We need to have such a realization. This realization allows us to experience Him. Experience Him as the all-inclusive one. He's the life giver, life dispenser, but he's we need to remember, he's the gift giver, and he's a life dispenser. It's for the building up of the body. Amen.